ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 1। श्री शुक उवाच। एवं गते अथ संसुद्यम्ने मनोर्वैवस्वत सुते पुत्रकामस्तपस्तेपे यमुनायं सतं समा। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, Thereafter, when his son Sudyumna had thus gone to the forest to accept the order of Vanaprastha, Vaivashvatu Manu, Shraddhadeva, being desirous of getting more sons, performed severe austerities on the bank of Yamuna for 100 years. So we'll read second and third verse because there is no purport. Translation. Then, because of his desire for sons, the Manu known as Shraddhadeva worshipped the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, the Lord of demigods. Thus he got 10 sons exactly like himself. Among them all, Ikshvaku was the eldest. Text 3. Among these sons, Prushardhra, following the order of his spiritual master, was engaged as a protector of cows. He would stand all night with a sword to give the cows protection. Purport. One who becomes Virasana takes the vow to stand all night with the sword to give protection to the cows. Because Prushardhra was engaged in this way, it is to be understood that he had no dynasty. We can further understand from this vow accepted by Prushardhra how essential it is to protect the cows. Some son of a Kshatriya would take this vow to protect the cows from ferocious animals, even at night. What then is to be said of sending cows to slaughterhouses? This is the most sinful activity in human society. So first of all, I would like to take blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here before I start to speak. So, this chapter is entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Manu. So I will just read the introduction of this particular summary of this particular chapter and then we'll start our discussion. This second chapter describes the dynasties of the sons of Manu headed by Karusha. After Sudyumna accepted the order of Vanaprastha and departed for the forest, Vaivasvata Manu, being desirous of sons, worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead and consequently begot 10 sons like Maharaj Ikshvaku, of all of whom were like his father. One of these sons, Prushardhra, was engaged in the duty of protecting cows at night with a sword in his hand. Following the order of his spiritual master, he would stand in this way for the entire night. Once, in the darkness of night, a tiger seized a cow from the cowshed, and when Prushardhra came to know this, he took a sword in his hand and followed the tiger. Unfortunately, when he finally approached the tiger, he could not distinguish between the cow and tiger in the dark, and thus he killed the cow. Because of this, his spiritual master cursed him to take birth in a Shudra family. But Prushardhra practiced mystic yoga, and in bhakti yoga he worshipped Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he voluntarily entered a blazing forest fire, thus relinquishing his material body and going back home, back to Godhead. Kavi, the youngest son of Manu, was a great devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead from his very childhood. From Manu's sons known as Karusha, a sect of Kshatriyas known as Karushas was generated. Manu also had a son known as Dhrishtra, from whom another sect of Kshatriyas was generated. But although they were born of one who had the qualities of a Kshatriya, they became Brahmanas. From Nruga, another son of Manu came, the sons and grandsons known as Sumati, Bhuta Jyoti, and Vasu. From Vasu in succession came Pratika, and in from him came Oghavan. Descending in order from the seminal dynasty of Narishyanta, another son of Manu were Chitrasena, Riksha, Midvan, Purna, Indrasena, Vitihotra, Shatashrava, Urushrava, Devadatta and Agnivesh. From Kshatriya, known as Agnivesha, came the celebrated Brahmanas dynasty, known as Agniveshyana. From the seminal dynasty of Dishta, the another son of Manu, came Nabhaga. And from him in succession came Balandana, Vatsapriti, Pramsu, Pramati, Khanidra, Chakshusha, Vimimshati, Ramba, Khaninetra, Karandhama, Avishit, Maruta, Dama, Rajavardhana, Surdhurtri, Nara, Kevala, Dumduman, Vegavan, Buddha and Trinabandhu. In this way, many sons and grandsons were born in this dynasty. From Trinabandhu came a daughter named Ilavila, from whom Kuvera took birth. Trinabandhu also had three sons named Vishala, Shunyabandhu and Dhumraketu. The son of Vishala was Hemachandra, his son was Dhrumraksha and his son was Samyama. The sons of Samyama were Devaja and Krushaswa. Krushaswa's son Somadatta performed an Ashwamedh sacrifice, and by worshipping the supreme personality of Godhead Vishnu, he achieved the supreme perfection of going home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So big list of so many names. So, excuse me. So today we will discuss on two topics particularly. That as we read a big list of the Manus, dynasties of sons of Manus, why there is a need to hear about all these names and all these dynasties. We'll first discuss that, and in second part we'll discuss about cow protection, because this is the main characteristic of this particular king, Vrishadra. So we'll discuss on that particular topic. So Maharaj Parikshit, as he was cursed to die in 7 days, so why he is questioning Sukhdeva Goswami regarding the dynasties of Manu? What is the relevance? The 9th canto starts with Parikshit Maharaj inquiring from Sukhdeva Goswami. He is saying, Manvantarani Samravani Twakta Uktani Shrutani Me Viryani Ananta Viryasya Harer Tastra Kritanicha. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying to Sukhdeva Goswami that you have already explained all the various periods of various Manus, Manvantarani Sarvani. And within these periods, the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Viryani Ananta Viryasya. The Lord who has unlimited potency, you have already described those wonderful activities. I am fortunate to have heard all of you, all of this from you. So the main underlying principle, why we have to read all these names and different dynasties, because they are related to the Lord. Otherwise it has no relevance, just reading those names. All these names or all these dynasties are related to the Lord, because the Manus, in one of the purport, Prabhupada writes, they are the partial incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are the administrators of the universe. And this word man, or in Sanskrit manushya, is actually derived from Manu. Actually, we are all descendants from the original Manu. And therefore, we are related to the Lord. And therefore, hearing all these different dynasties of the Lord is very much important. In second canto, it is said that the Lord's activities in association with his different energies should always be heard, appreciated and described. They should be described, varnan, appreciated, anumodata, and one should hear it regularly with faith. That will help us to overcome the illusionary energy of the Lord. So this is the first reason why we should hear all these dynasties, or the sons of different dynasties of Manu. Prahlad Maharaj, Maharaj Parikshit here, he's asking further at the start of this ninth canto, he wants to know the three important things related to the different dynasties. First of all, he is asking Sukhdeva Goswami that I have already heard these wonderful activities of the personality of Godhead, but I still want to know more. He is eager to hear more about the Lord in his different incarnations in different manus. As there are 14 manus in one day of Brahma, so there are different incarnations which also take place in every manu. And Parikshit Maharaj was very eager to hear about the different incarnations of the Lord and the wonderful activities of the Lord. And he, in turn, he further says, "O greatly fortunate Sukhdeva Goswami, O great Brahmana, kindly describe to us separately the dynasties and characteristics of all those kings. Vamsha Anucharitani." So he wants to know the characteristics of all those kings, all those dynasties, or those who appeared in these dynasties. For we are always eager to hear about such topics from you. And the third thing he is asking, he wants to know the abilities of these celebrated kings. So these are the three things which he wants to know. Those who have appeared in the past, those are appearing in present, and those will appear in the future. He wants to know all those aspects regarding these things. And Sukhdeva Goswami, because he was very expert, he starts speaking about the Vaivasvata Manu, the present day Manu, who is known as Shraddhadeva. So Sukhdeva Goswami says, "O king, subduer of your enemies, now hear from me in great detail, Vistara, about the dynasty of Manu." So it's so vast that it cannot be described. Sukhdeva Goswami himself is saying that I shall explain as much as possible as far as my... although one could not say anything, everything about it, even in hundreds of years. So it's a vast thing. If we see the ninth canto, so many dynasties, so many names, it's a vast thing. So even in hundreds of years, one cannot understand. But for our purification, therefore, we have to hear all these different pastimes of the Lord, which take place in different manus. Because all these things are related to the Lord, and Lord appears and performs wonderful activities, adbhut activities. And these all activities are, in 8th canto it is said, that they are adbhut and they are sumangalam. They are all auspicious. Just by hearing all these activities of the Lord and his devotees, it creates supreme auspiciousness. And therefore, all these teachers, we can say, these dynasties or kings, actually they are teachers. Because manus are the administrators of the universe. In one sense, they are all our teachers. And we can learn so many things from them, so many lessons to be learned. Most important lesson is that they teach that all these material universes are like schools, or they are like reformatories for the conditioned soul to reform himself and go home back to Godhead. Just like the example today we'll see of Prasadra, how he perfected his life. He was cursed for his mistake. It was just not performed, the mistake was not performed purposefully, but out of, because it was dark at night, he assumed that the tiger was killed, but it was the cow which was been killed. And Vasishtha Muni, his spiritual master, he cursed him that you will be born as a Shudra and not that as Kshatriya in your next life. But Prasadra took this curse in a positive way. He folded his hands. It is written further that when he was cursed, very nicely explained, which will be dealt in the future verses, it is said, when the hero Prasadra was thus cursed by his spiritual master Vasishtha, he accepted the curse with folded hands. Then, having controlled his senses, he took up the vow of Brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages. So therefore, we learn so many lessons from such kings. How he reacted to the situation, which is another important aspect why we hear about all these different kings in these dynasties. So how he reacted? Because he was a king, he would have counter-cursed or he would have punished. But still, he took it in a very positive way. He folded his hands and he accepted as it's the Lord's arrangement. And immediately he took up the vow of Brahmacharya, which is approved by all sages. And then further, it is said that he gained relief from all responsibilities, became peaceful in mind, and established control over his senses. And thus he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way in Bhakti Yoga. And then he achieved the pure devotional service of the Lord. In that purport, Prabhupada writes that Prasadra performed such devotional, powerful devotional service that by power of devotional service, he avoided the terrible consequence of becoming a Shudra. And instead of becoming a Shudra, he actually perfected his life and went home back to Godhead. So Prasadra, Prabhupada writes that he was a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he could perfect his life. So curse was taken as a disguise, blessing in disguise. So similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, we see, he was cursed. But how he reacted to the situation is most important. So these are not just stories, but these are lessons to be learned from different sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, they are recorded in Srimad Bhagavat. Because they can be heard. We can take so many lessons from them. So another aspect of why we have to hear about all these dynasties, we can learn from the Sudyumna, from the King Sudyumna. So he was, as the first chapter ends, when Sudyumna leaves, as he becomes old, and he leaves and takes Vanaprastha. So another principle which we can learn, that all the Manus particularly, they are directly appointed by the Supreme Lord, and they are meant to establish the principles of Varnashram. Most of the kings, they followed this Varnashram. Sudyumna, he immediately, as he became old, he was not attached to his post. As we see modern day politicians or modern day rulers, they are attached to their post till the last breath. So similarly, they immediately left to the forest. So this is because all these kings, this principle of accepting the spiritual master, which is the foundational principle of spiritual life. All these kings had a spiritual master. Parikshit Maharaj also accepted Krupacharya as spiritual master. And when he was cursed, he accepted Sukhdeva Goswami and heard from him. So the acceptance of spiritual master is an integral part of spiritual life. This has been exhibited in all these particular pastimes of the devotees of the Lord. And he followed this Varnashram. So Varnashram system actually, it is based on two principles, like knowledge and detachment. So they had already, these kings were well educated by the spiritual masters, and therefore, with the power of knowledge, they were able to detach themselves from the worldly life. When proper time came, they were able to renounce by handing over their kingdom to their sons. This is the most important principle we learn from these particular aspects of these dynasties of different kings. And the most important, which we'll be discussing in our next part, is that about of the cow protection. So therefore, hearing all these pastimes is most important, because activities of the Lord and activities of the devotees are interrelated, we can say. Because activities of the Lord are performed in relation to the devotees of the Lord. And therefore, history of the devotees, this is all history of the devotees, is non-different from the history of Lord Krishna's activities or the Lord's activities. And therefore, hearing of all these activities is the most important aspect for sadhakas like all of us. Just like in first canto, Shaunakadi Rishi, he is inquired. He is saying, why did Maharaj Parikshit simply punish Kali, who is dressed as a king and having struck a cow with a leg? Please describe all these incidents if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna. So why they wanted to hear? Because they were related to topics of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there was no need to hear. So Prabhupada writes very beautifully in that purport that all the sages, they were simply interested in the topics of Krishna. Krishna Katha Ashrayam. For anything that is detailed with the narration of Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in Srimad Bhagavat, but all of them are in relation with Krishna, and all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredient in all matters. In mundane world, everything is impure due to the product of three modes of material nature, but the purifying agent is Krishna. And therefore, we have to hear about all these dynasties. Though the now different names, and it becomes boring. The list goes on and on, for one pages, two pages, or so many verses go by just describing the names. But just by hearing, we can purify our existence. That's the whole underlying principle. So today, this today's verse, which is related to cow production. Prasadra, he took the vow of standing all night with a sword to give protection to the cow. So this particular aspect of cow production, we will try to discuss. In one of the purport, in first canto of Srimad Bhagavat, Prabhupada writes that there are three principles on which the progress of human civilization is based. First is development or developing Brahminical culture for self-purification. Second aspect is God consciousness for self-realization. And third is protection of the cows. A human civilization which does not give importance to these three principles is said to be doomed. In one of the purports in first canto, Prabhupada writes cow protection, regarding cow protection. A society devoid of cow protection is doomed, Prabhupada says. Practically we see so much nowadays, so many cows and bulls and animals are getting slaughtered. Someone was telling it's like 10,000 cows are slaughtered every day in India. This is a land of Dharma where Parikshit Maharaj was, immediately he took up sword when a low class Shudra dressed as a king was beating the cow and the bull. That is the duty of a Kshatriya. Immediately he took up sword and he was ready to kill him. So in the same land, we find that thousands of cows are being slaughtered every day just to satisfy the tongue. This is an unfortunate state. So therefore, there is a need to spread awareness regarding why we should protect the cows. Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that cow protection means feeding Brahminical culture. And when a person has developed that type of culture, Brahminical culture, then what happens? That leads to God consciousness. That is perfection of human civilization. Cow gives, Prabhupada says, the most important milk. And it is said it's a miracle. The ingredients of the milk, which are vitamins or whatever they call, they help us to develop the finer tissues of the brain. And when one drinks cow's milk, one can understand all these transcendental topics. Till then we cannot understand. Unless one comes to the platform of goodness, one cannot understand these topics. Prabhupada writes that meat eating is totally prohibited, but at least cow's meat should not be eaten. One can eat if a person is of a very low, he's in a very low modes, lower modes, they can eat lower animals, dogs, hogs, whatever, but not the cow. In one of the purport, Prabhupada writes, but not the cow. Cow killing is sinful. Practically all the troubles, all the maladies we see in today's society are due to because of people are eating beef. In Western countries, cows are meant for beef, not for milk. They are reared in big farms just for meat. Milk is really a byproduct for them. Though from our point of view, from Vedic, milk is a byproduct of cow, but for them the whole system is that cattle rearing is for beef, not for milk. How many Americans drink cow's milk every day? That is a big question. And how many, the percentage of people eating beef will be more definitely than the cow milk. So they are slaughtered in a very merciless way in a sophisticated way. I heard someone telling that nowadays they are so sophisticated in their technology that there is a big chamber, and in that chamber, one by one, the cow is let in, and within few minutes, you will find packed, we should not say such things, but packed, what they say, beef coming out in the next, it's through the conveyor belt. You'll find nothing. So in such cases, what is going to happen? Then definitely there will be earthquakes, there will be tsunamis, and therefore obviously there will be recession also. These are all repercussions which take place because of cow killing. People don't know how it is related to cow killing. But these are all repercussions which one we will have to face in future if we don't propagate cow protection. It's a duty. Prabhupada said so many purports are there strongly saying that we should propagate this cow protection. Practically everyone of all of us, therefore we have our farms, and therefore everyone according to his capacity, we should try to help our serve cows in whatever capacity we have. So therefore, this cow protection is most important aspect. It is said that when Brahmanical culture deteriorates, the cow and bulls are mistreated. So therefore, the whole civilization we see that there is no room for developing this Brahmanical culture. Most of the population, Prabhupada says, that is in passion and ignorance. Hardly few people are in the mode of goodness. So Brahmanical culture means in the mode of goodness. So when people are into passion and ignorance, definitely, and because of the executive heads or the rulers, they are not properly guided by the spiritual master. They practically don't have any spiritual master. Parikshit Maharaj had advisory committee of Brahmanas in first canto Prabhupada writes. And all these Brahmanas, where they were not paid, they were voluntarily working for or advising Maharaj Parikshit. So that was the system. And therefore, when this Brahmanical culture deteriorates, practically, Prabhupada writes that the cow and bull are mistreated, and the resultant reactions are people are full of anxieties. First canto, one should read very powerful purports regarding cow protection and agriculture and everything. Everyone is diseased. Prabhupada says, when the cow and bull is mistreated, everyone is deceived with some kind of ailment. Because happiness is not just such thing that only we can attain on our own. Prabhupada writes that happiness in the world depends proportionately on the maintenance of the religious principles individually and collectively. So one may be religious, but he gets the reaction because there is a collective karma. So individually and collectively. So our happiness does not depend not only because we are pious, but we will get reactions for there is a collective karma. So if so many things happen, that's why even devotees get affected. And therefore the best part is to maintain those principles despite all odds. In whatever capacity we can do, we should promote cow protection. Therefore in this way only we can live happily in this life and return home back to Godhead. So therefore, this prosperity of the whole world, or if we want real peace, then there is a need to protect the cows. In one of the purport, first canto Prabhupada writes, when the cow and bull are happy, then the people can be happy. Otherwise, it's not possible. Because milking the cow means actually drawing the religious principles. And bull is considered like father because it is used for tilling the land for production of food grains, and cow gives milk. So cow is considered as a mother and bull is considered as father. So how can the civilization be happy by killing a cow and bull? Nowadays, the people generally, we have seen that for milking the cow, actually, the science is that first, when we milk the cow, we have to leave the calf first and let the calf drink the milk. And when the calf has taken sufficiently, then whatever is remaining is taken by humans. That is the principle. And therefore, nowadays we find that the cows don't give milk. The main reason the people may give, there are so many scientific veterinary doctors and they may present so many research papers and so many facts and figures. But the main principle is because the cows are unhappy, they don't give milk. The calf is taken away as soon as it's born and it is fed with artificial food and the milk is drawn from the cow. The cow, actually Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, as a result of that, the calf being separated from the cow stands with tears in her eyes and the Shudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially. When there is no milk, they are sent to the slaughterhouses. So this is a very low class activity. Shudra milkman, Prabhupada writes in the purport. In particularly, I heard and I have seen some documentaries that in the United States, they have this high tech dairies where these cows are made to stand in a big stall and artificially they are not also, the milk is not drawn by any Shudra milkman. But that Shudra milkman is sitting in one big room and operating on a computerized machine. All the udders of the cow are, there are suction pipes are attached to the cows and the person sits in the computer room and he operates the speed with which the milk can be drawn from the udder. So how can be there a happiness in this such society when they are exploiting the cow by using machines to draw milk from the cow, where it is such a blissful activity to draw milk from the cow. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he milked the cows for 10 years. And he can, many of you must have heard from him, actually. So actually, it's a personal relationship with the cow, which actually the cow reciprocates in the form of milk, by giving milk. And all these mechanized dairies and all these things are actually, these are all Ugra Karma. So therefore, there is a need to protect the cows. Another aspect regarding Maharaj Parikshit, which comes in the first canto, Prabhupada writes in the purport that regarding Brahminical culture, Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by Shringi. Now this incident took place because when Maharaj Parikshit went to the forest and he was not received by Shamik Rishi, apparently he put a dead snake around his neck. And then this boy, the sage's boy, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. So Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that the age of Kali aims at killing the higher principles of life. And although Maharaj Parikshit resisted strongly the domination of the personalities of Kali within the world, the influence of Kali came at an opportune moment, and even a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit was induced to disregard the Brahminical culture due to slight provocation of hunger and thirst. So even Maharaj Parikshit, who was a twice born, well-cultured king, he also succumbed. Of course, that is an arrangement of the Lord so that the Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. That is the internal reason. But he also, though he always respected Brahmanas, at this particular instance, he disregarded the Brahmana, Shamik Rishi. And because of which, he was cursed and then the whole Bhagavatam was spoken. Maharaj Parikshit lamented, of course, see how the kings reacted. That is most important. Reacting to situations. When a person is facing some different situations, different troubles or difficulties in life, how he reacts is more important. So all these instances help us to how to react to situations. So Maharaj Parikshit immediately he lamented for this incident and he desired that all his kingdom, strength, accumulation of wealth would be burnt up for not being engaged in Brahminical culture, development of Brahminical culture. When wealth, strength and are not engaged in the advancement of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection, the state and home are surely doomed by providence. And therefore these important, three important principles are very much important. That is Brahminical culture for our own purification. It's not that we want to become Brahmanas. Our aim is to become servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Our aim is not to become Brahmana. There are so many Brahmanas already. What is the use of them if they are not devotees? So that is a stage which is in a mode of goodness where we elevate our consciousness to become a devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, we are stuck up in the material world. This particular stage of developing Brahminical culture, this attracts the affection of the Lord. And unless one does not develop this particular qualities, the Lord will not be attracted. Namo Brahmane Devaya, Go Brahmane Hitaya Cha. Jagat Ditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Nama. So Lord gives pleasure to the cows, senses and the Brahmanas. Bhagwan Api Govindo Brahmano Bhakta Vatsala. The Lord is the protector of cows and Brahminical culture. So from Brahminical culture, we have to go to the next stage. That is Vaishnava. So Vaishnavism is a, like it is said in first canto, that is a postgraduate status of a Brahmana. So becoming a devotee means devotee is already a Brahmana. He has already developed those qualities. So therefore, this important aspect of developing this Brahminical culture and whole system of Varnashram, which is exhibited by these different kings, is Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that the whole aim of Varnashram is to bring or to elevate the consciousness of a person from animal consciousness to human consciousness and from human consciousness to God consciousness. That is perfection of civilization. So therefore, this development of Brahminical culture is possible only by protecting the cows. So in this regard, in short, just we will read from Srimad Bhagavat the conversation between Chand Kazi and Lord Chaitanya regarding cow production. Yesterday I was reading, very nice, very inspiring. So we'll just read. A few verses are there in Adi Leela. So this is after Chand Kazi was forbidding the devotees of Navadvip to perform Sankirtan. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with the devotees went to his house in a big procession chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then the conversation starts. प्रभु कहे प्रश्न लागी ऐलाम तुम्हार स्थाने काजी कहे अजन करे ये तुम्हारा मने. The Lord said, my dear uncle, I have come to your home just to ask you some questions. Yes, the Kazi replied, you are welcome. Just tell me what is in your mind. प्रभु कहे गो दुग्ध खाओ गाभी तुम्हारा माता ऋष अन्न उपाजाये तथा तेनो पिता. The Lord said that you drink cow's milk, therefore the cow is your mother, and the bull produces grains for your maintenance, therefore he is your father. Since the bull and cow are your father and mother, how can you kill and eat them? What kind of religious principle is this? Pita mata mari khao eba kon dharma, kon bale kara tumi ei mata vikarma. He's saying, on what strength are you so daring that you commit such sinful activities? So this is for just for our understanding. So what the same thing is going on everywhere. So is it a religious principle that we are eating? We may not be eating, but those who are eating, those are beef eaters. So therefore, practically many people, actually I knew one person when I was small. My grandfather, he was working in Bombay Port Trust. The chairman of at that time, he was the so-called Brahmin. Typical Brahmin, Maharashtrian Brahmin. And he used to say, I love eating cow's flesh. Born in a Brahminical family with good samskaras, and he used to say. So this is what, at that time, 20 years back, and now we see practically so much degradation taking place. The Kazi replied, as you have your scriptures called the Vedas, we have our scriptures known as Quran. and he was trying to argue with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that it is permitted in the Quran, and therefore we, as you say, Vedas prohibit meat eating, cow's flesh. We, our Quran says that it is permitted. According to Quran, he is saying, Chand Kazi is saying, there are two ways of advancement: through increasing the propensity to enjoy, and through decreasing the propensity to enjoy. On the path of decreasing attachment, Nivrutti Mark, the killing of animals is prohibited. So we are followers of Pravrutti Mark, he is saying. So therefore, it's permitted. Those who are on the Nivrutti Mark, on the path of detachment, they are prohibited. On the path of material activities, there is a regulation for killing cows. If such killing is done under the guidance of scripture, there is no sin. And then he is saying, as a learned scholar, the Qazi, he challenged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In your Vedic literatures or scriptures, there is an injunction for killing cow. On the strength of this injunction, great sages perform sacrifices involving cow killing. So there are so many people nowadays also saying such things on the strength of scriptures, that this is such and such things are said in your scriptures. And we have a website by Vraj Bihari Prabhu saying, counter arguing all these, defeating all these arguments. Refuting the Qazi's statement, the Lord immediately replied, the Vedas clearly enjoin the cows should not be killed. Therefore, every Hindu, whoever he may be, avoids indulging in cow killing. In the Vedas and Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive the living being, one can kill it for experimental, and not for, kill it for experimental purpose. And therefore, though it is mentioned cow killing, but previously the great sages would revive the body of that cow. The old cow was, or a bull was sacrificed, but it was revived, it was given a new body. That was the power of the Brahmins. By chanting mantras, they could revive the old animal into a new body. The killing and regeneration of such old and invalid cow was not truly killing, but in act a great benefit. Formerly, there were powerful Brahmanas who could make such experiments using Vedic mantras. But now, because of Kali Yuga, Brahmanas are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls are for regeneration is forbidden. And therefore, the five acts are forbidden in Kali Yuga, the famous shloka. That offering horse in sacrifice, killing cow, and accepting of sannyas, and all the five things. So in that, killing of cows is prohibited in Kali Yuga. Though it is recommended in various scriptures. But in Kali Yuga, it is totally forbidden to kill a cow in sacrifice. Since you Muslims cannot bring cows back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. This is what will happen if we don't preach also. So therefore, there is a need to preach about cow protection also, along with chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There are many mistakes and illusions in our scriptures, in your scriptures. Their compilers, not knowing the essence of knowledge, gave orders that were against reason and argument. And after hearing these argument statements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi, his arguments actually was stunned and could not put forward any other argument. Thus, after due consideration, the Qazi accepted defeat, and he accepted that cow killing is sinful. So this is a beautiful conversation between the Lord and Chand Qazi, which shows that how cow killing is sinful and it has to be stopped at any cost. So therefore, we can take lessons from this particular aspect. King Prashadra, he took up the vow standing at night to protect the cows. That is the duty of a Kshatriya. That is the duty of a ruler or the executive head, Prabhupada writes, to protect not only the human beings, but each and every creature or living entity. Parikshit Maharaj exhibited this quality. Similarly, Prashadra also, he exhibited his ability to protect the cows. So therefore, this is the most important aspect of a spiritual life, regarding cow protection, to propagate cow protection by according to our capacity, by say serving the cows. Because by serving the cows, we can please Krishna. That is the most important underlying aspect, principle in our devotional life. Just like we serve devotees. Why? So that we get their blessings and then we get the blessings of Krishna. Similarly, if we don't, we neglect the cows, saying it's not needed, then we cannot please Krishna. One devotee was telling me that when he came from Mayapur, from Tirupati temple, Shaktiman Keshav Prabhu, he was telling when I was speaking. So he said, when a new boy joins our ashram, initially, like they had this system, that first 3 months, he said that the boy who wants to join the ashram, he was made to serve the cows, though he liked or not. He said, I served the cows for 3 months. I never milked, but I used to remove gobar, cow dung, massage the cows, give them bath, and all menial service, feed the cows. He says, by serving the cows, one becomes purified. He said the very powerful statement that it is an important aspect for brahmacharis. If they want to maintain their brahmacharya, he said that it is written in scriptures. I don't know the reference, but he said that to be maintained, one has to serve the cows. Because serving the cows, it's so purifying that all our sins are destroyed by serving the cows. So many benefits are there by serving the cows. I'm speaking for myself. I am not still serving, but at least by propagating this message, we can serve. If we can serve personally, that is the best. But if we cannot, because we are living in cities and we cannot have a cow over here, it's difficult because our temple premises doesn't permit. But Prabhuji was saying that every temple should have, traditionally all Hindu temples had cows. Now we are going to South India, we'll find that there is a goshala everywhere, in all traditional temples. Even our Tirupati temple, the temple has 80 cows, he was saying. And they have a farm which is far off from the temple, around having 200 cows. So like that. So cow production is so essential for maintaining this Brahminical culture. So we will stop here. So just to conclude what we saw, that we saw today regarding why there is a need to hear the activities or different dynasties of sons of Manu, because they are all related to the Lord. And Lord incarnates in these different Manus and performs wonderful activities, adbhut activities, which are all auspicious. So therefore, because they are related to the Lord, we hear. And so many principles can be drawn from this particular hearing of all these kings, of which cow protection was the most important aspect regarding King Prasadra, how he protected the cows, that he took up a vow, Virasan, that he will protect the cows by taking a sword in his hand. So similarly, because Manus, we are all descendants of Manus, Mahajana Eno Gatha Sapantha, so therefore, we should follow in their footsteps by serving the cows. That is the way we can serve humanity and also serve the Supreme Lord. Namo Brahmane Devaya Go Brahmane Itayacha. Krishna will be pleased when we take care of cows. And his devotees, of course, Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Grantharas Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.